Sean Pellegrin is joining us here on set. This time he's checking in on the state of trade talks between the US and the European Union.
That's right, Stuart. Talks are intensifying ahead of an August 1st deadline on which Donald Trump has said the US will slap 30% tariffs on most imports from the bloc, a so-called reciprocal tariff meant to rebalance trade relations in the US's favor. That's in Donald Trump's words. This comes in addition to sectoral tariffs already applied on imports of cars and car parts, as well as steel and aluminium, and threats of future sectoral tariffs on pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, and copper. As a reminder, Donald Trump has expressed alarm at the U.S. trade deficit with the EU last year. That deficit stood at $235.6 billion, meaning the EU exported goods to the U.S. worth that much more than the U.S. exported to the EU. The U.S. president has made it his fixation to rebalance that, but also criticizing the EU for some of its policies, which he believes are unfair to U.S. companies, notably the EU's tighter regulations on the tech sector dominated by U.S. giants.
So if a deal is struck, what would it look like?
Well, the reporting so far on this suggests that on the U.S. side, the administration is pushing for a universal tariff that would be higher than 10% and to carve out a few exceptions for sectors that are seen as too important to expose to the perils of a trade war. Sectors like aviation, where Washington wants to make sure Boeing maintains a strong presence in the European market, or medical devices and generic medicines, as well as spirits and also specific manufacturing equipment needed by the U.S. Both sides are also discussing implementing a ceiling for trade in some sectors and quotas for steel and aluminium. In Brussels, the consensus is that if a deal is found, it will favor the United States, and that the real question is how much pain the bloc is willing to accept in order to keep access to the U.S. market relatively open. That answer varies from member country to member country. And if no agreement is reached and that 30% tariff goes into effect, well, the EU will have to respond. Take a listen to France's economy minister.
These negotiations are challenging, and I want to reiterate here that if we fail to reach a balanced agreement with the United States of America, we reserve the right to take countermeasures, naturally balanced, but aimed at upholding the interests of the European Union.
Retaliatory tariffs for the steel and aluminium tariffs are already approved and ready to be implemented, and an even wider list of tariffs in response to the reciprocal duties has also been prepared. And there could also be non-tariff sanctions like export controls or restrictions for U.S. businesses to EU public procurement contracts. Once the EU actually responds, then we can actually truly talk about a trade war.
I assume, Charles, this is all rather weighing on the markets.
Absolutely. At the open in Europe this Tuesday morning, we're seeing shares trade lower on the fear that 30% universal tariff from the U.S. will take effect on August 1st, especially with U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent saying in an interview on Monday that implementing high tariffs on that date, quote, will put more pressure on countries to come with better agreements.
And this is happening as Europe's economy is undergoing some significant changes.
Mm-hmm. And those are especially visible in Germany, one of Europe's main economic engines. The country's auto sector has been struggling because of stiff competition from Asian producers and a difficult economic landscape. But many companies in that sector are now pinning their hopes on the increase in defense spending announced by the government to shore up its military sovereignty, a move that comes as direct consequence of Donald Trump's election in the U.S. and his objective of reducing U.S. security commitments in Europe. Have a look at this report from our team in Germany.
Thomas Fuchs doesn't miss a thing. A few years ago, his company in Saarland switched from subcontracting for car factories to the arms industry. Today, it produces body parts for various types of tanks.
This is also made from aluminum. We have an extensive internal value chain. That's a big advantage, as it means we can do everything in-house, from laser cutting to welding and painting. And that appeals to defense companies.
The transition from auto to defense industry has not been easy. But the number of employees has tripled, and at a time when the government has made huge investments in defense, Thomas Fuchs' gamble is paying off.
A few years ago, the defense sector represented well under 5% of our sales, but this will change completely over the next few years. We expect to see more than 80% of sales from defense technologies in the next 2 years.
At a time of growing job losses in car making, other companies are also considering a transition to defense. No other sector is currently creating as many jobs in Germany. But this transformation is only just beginning, and in Saarbrücken, the powerful metalworking union is warning against raising expectations too high.
At the moment, financial resources for defense are clearly important, but here in Saarland, we have 2,500 employees in the defense industry and more than 40,000 in the automotive parts industry. So one can never completely replace the other.
But the transfer of personnel and technology has begun. Arms giant Rheinmetall is currently examining the possibility of cooperation with Volkswagen, one of the German manufacturers hardest hit by the crisis in car making.
Nick Holdsworth reporting there in Saarbrücken.
Thank you very much. Sean Pellegrin, our business editor on France 24.